Welcome in, Braves Today, BravesToday.com. It's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Be sure to go over to Plains Coffee and enter promo code Braves and get your 10% off. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. And Lindsey, the bats just seem to not be where they needed to be this entire series. I guess I expected more just because of the way the Mets started out their season. I don't know if anything about the rain delay had anything to do with that, with throwing, as they say, moving somebody's cheese. All of a sudden, the Braves got out of whack or something. But they weren't great before, but they looked really atrocious today. Even though you had a couple of guys with one hit, you and I were talking prior, the Braves usually dominate left-handed pitching, and that's what they got to see against the Mets and did nothing with it.
Yeah, like last year, I don't think people realize how good Atlanta was against lefties. They only had to face 32 lefty starters, and it was because teams were deliberately just changing their rotations to not have their lefties throw against Atlanta. In those 32 starts, Atlanta hit, and this is just against the lefty starter. So when the starter comes out, that's not part of this. Just against those starters, they hit 60 home runs, and the slash line was 290, 354, 516. Against lefty starters last year. I don't have the accumulated number, including this Mets loss, but going into this game, 229, 296, 410 against lefties. So, I mean, this is the fourth lefty they faced this year out of their 11 games. And I don't quite know what it is, why it's different, but this team just hasn't really gotten going against lefties like they did last year. They're on track to face way more than 32 and on pace to significantly outproduce what they did last year. But again, it's been such a weird start to the year. Atlanta's had so many postponements. Yeah. They've had three games postponed. Only one's been made up. They've had three different rain delays. And Atlanta is 29th out of 30 teams in number of games played. They've only played 11. Mm-hmm. Everybody else just about has played 12, 13, the Dodgers and Padres have played 15 because of the Korea series. The only team behind Atlanta right now in games played is the Twins with 10.
Yeah, and they play in a dome, which is even more hilarious. So I guess, you know,
road matchups.
Yeah, exactly. Road matchups. That's what it ends up being. You know, I guess one of the biggest issues is, and let's just talk about the final game of the series that we just saw as we're recording this after. And, you know, when your leading hitters are Chadwick Trump and Adam Duvall, you got an issue. Everybody else just had, you know, one hit. Of course, 0-for for Ronald before he gets pulled in the ninth, which is probably a good idea because a couple of balls went that way. So I'm glad he didn't have to tweak something going to get something. But it just – you don't want to see those as your leading guys that come out at the end of the day as having the most hits in the lineup. Two guys that – our platoon guys that never play.
I will point out, all like several Braves are having decent numbers as far as like batted average and stuff goes. Ozzie Albies is batting 319. Mm-hmm. He went 2-for-5. You know, Marcell Ozuna 326. Like today wasn't a ton of production from the top of your lineup. Again, Ronald had an offer, but for the most part, it feels like a lot of your lineup for the most part has been hitting, with the exception of today, right? Like today was the, they still had 10 hits today. It's just, it looks a lot different. They got 4 runs out of their 10 hits, whereas the Mets got 16 runs out of their 16 hits. So it kind of looks a little, it looks a little worse than it actually was, I think. This game was weird, right?
It was.
Alan, like getting delayed for the start. Alan Winans being, he hadn't pitched in 9 days. I mean, getting pushed back and pushed back. He was supposed to start on like Sunday for Gwinnett when everything got moved. And so I think at a certain point, you just kind of chalk this one up to being weird and you just move on, right? You're going to have games like this. You're going to have maybe even a series like this where postponements and injuries and cancellations and call-ups all make it out to be weird, where things like a player makes his Braves debut, a position player makes his Braves debut on the mound and gives up a grand slam. Like, that kind of stuff just happens. I think we probably just move on from this and just start looking ahead to Miami.
Yeah, because something positive comes out as far as the plate is concerned, even though not dominant. I mean, they did have 6 runs the game before, and then they had 7 runs on the opening game of the series, which pitching was seemed to be the issue that day. And speaking of pitching, I mean, you brought him up. Winans, is it seems like his former team has him figured out, at least over the last couple of outings that he's had to face him. I think that that experiment has gone horribly wrong, in my opinion, as far as throwing him. Now, it just happens to be the matchup time, happens to be an injury time. I think there are going to be a lot of people concerned about Winans, though. But he seems to be the guy that they're going to first when they have to bring somebody up to fill in.
Well, from what I understand, this one was more of the timeline of when it worked, right? They made a move on Sunday morning prior to Sunday's game. And he was the scheduled starter, so he was the freshest. They thought they could potentially need to use whoever they called up in the bullpen. So it made sense. Like, if you asked me in spring training who was going to be the first guy called up to enter the rotation on a long-term basis if there was an injury, I would have told you Bryce Elder. And I still think that this spot in the rotation, the next time there's somebody called up to make a start in this spot, it's going to be Bryce Elder.
Yep.
It just kind of worked out scheduling-wise that Winans was the guy. But this outing, this outing looks a lot different if we're talking about him giving up 4 earned runs in 5 innings. You had that weird fly ball to center field. It was off a changeup, and I think CJ Nitkowski mentioned this on the broadcast. Sometimes those changeups come off weird on the bat. And
yep.
Michael Harris got a bad read, made 2 steps in, then started going back. It's off his glove, over his head to the wall. And then Orlando Arcia gets eaten up on a ground ball for an unearned run. And so if this is 5 innings with 4 runs, I think you feel a little bit different about this outing than with it being 7 runs, 6 earned in 5 innings. And I will say, Winans started to kind of settle down. I don't know if the Mets kind of backed off the throttle a little bit or if that was just him. But he retired 7 of the last 8 batters he faced, all on groundouts. So, I mean, he wasn't awful after you got past his first 2 innings. It was just he was pretty bad in those first 2 innings.
Oh, yeah, he was. And that's, I guess, my concern with – I like Winans a lot. I've told you. I said I think that he's one of
my – You like him more than I do.
Yeah. So I think that comes across as when I critique him, I think people jump in the comments and they're like, you just got a guy you don't like. No, I actually do like him. Like Lindsay just said, if there's somebody that probably likes him more than Lindsay, it's going to be me. And the reason being is just because I think he's a location guy. I think he can get ground balls. And I don't want his confidence ruined because his last 2 outings against the Mets, he gave up, I don't know how many
runs. He gave up 7 runs earned the last time, I think. Yes. I want to say that was in 4 or 4 1/3, something like that.
Right.
And then this was 7 runs, 6 earned, and 5.
Exactly. And as you said, didn't really have to be earned runs because of the weird placement of some balls and maybe some mistakes that Atlanta made. So they probably, even though they go down as earned runs, probably really weren't if you look back at it. And so my concern is because he's going to get called up. He's going to be used again. I know we talked about Elder coming up, but I just don't want that confidence to go away. Maybe that's something where when they put him back down, he has a couple of great outings in AAA, and then his confidence is right back where it needs to be. Because he did, Lindsay, for once, towards the end, right before he went out, he kind of looked, after a couple of bleeders got through, he looked kind of deflated and defeated, almost like, what am I doing out here right now?
It can be frustrating. Here we go again. Yeah. To kind of know that, hey, you hit your spot, you made a good pitch, and not only did they get a hit, but it really kind of came off as a lucky hit, right? Like, just so much of this game is mental. The grind is mental, maybe sometimes more so than physical when it comes to certain positions and certain guys. And that can be demoralizing. And I think, one, the decision to have Chadwick Tromp catch him was the right one because he did so well with Tromp in AAA last year that get him a guy that knows him really well and can make the in-game, not that Travis d'Arnaud can't, but knows how to make the in-game adjustments like Tromp did on the play calling, pitch calling, to let him be successful in the back half of the outing. But it's just, I mean, it's tough.
And Tromp had a couple of hits, so for offensively, it was the right call to have him in there anyway. Hey, it's brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code BRAVES, get 10% off regular coffee. They got flavored coffee. They're going to get it straight to your doorstep. Don't roast the beans until you make that order. So go to plainscoffee.com. They also have teas Enter the promo code Braves and get 10% off. All right. So now it's, I don't call it a must win. I even texted this to you, but with the way the Miami Marlins are playing, this is something where the Braves can take advantage and be still right there at the top of the standings, even though they don't have as many games under their belt as other people within the division do. But the Miami Marlins are just not great, and the Braves could take full advantage of that this weekend as they make the trip down to Miami.
As somebody who's watched a lot of the Miami Marlins this year, the Marlins are bad. And I think, like,
great, we're going 0-3.
we spend too much time talking necessarily about, you know, can you win this series or not versus the really good teams. I think what you see amongst the dominant teams, it's a little bit different in baseball because it's that anybody can win thing, right? But most really good teams in sports do a good enough job of winning the close games, and they dominate the teams that they should dominate. And right. So Atlanta needs to use this weekend in Miami to get some of these offensive guys right. Maybe this is something where Marcell Ozuna had his renaissance last year in Miami. Coming up soon, actually. It's like just a couple weeks away from a year ago.
Yep.
To start May, maybe Ronald Acuña Jr. can have that kind of weekend in Miami. And I think this is where you build some space in the divisional standings. You fix your run differential, because that got screwed up today with this giant lopsided loss. And just take advantage of, one, you get a team that offensively has not been very good. You get a team that has not had very much reliable outings from the rotation or the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And you get two lefty starters among the three games. And so maybe you get a better chance to maybe fix or figure out what's been missing this year against lefty starters. So I like the matchup. You look at all three pitching matchups, I think Atlanta has the advantage all 3 days. Mm-hmm. Really a big fan of what you can get done in Miami this weekend, provided that, you know, 85% of the team shows up. I feel like that's good enough to win all three.
You said renaissance out of Acuña this year, kind of like it was with Ozuna last year. The one thing I'd like to see Acuña do a little bit better is the power hasn't quite been there this year as far as putting the ball over the wall. I don't know that this is the park to do it, but it would be if he does. I mean, that would be a huge confidence booster. But tell you who else he could have a renaissance weekend. That's Max Fried. He's due. I told you I was really looking forward to him, his next outing, because he just looked the maddest I've ever seen him after his last outing, and how he just let the ball club down and he couldn't wait to get back out there. And now he gets to do it against a team that's just not been very successful this year.
Yeah. I was in the interview room when he came in after the game on Saturday, and he, I mean, just flat out multiple times said, like, I'm not doing good enough. Like, I have to be better. And I think at one point in time, you know, he actually said, and pardon my language, right? He said, like, I got to pick my shit up. Like, this isn't good enough. And, you know, while he was happy that the offense was good enough to get the team the win, he personally felt like he was letting his teammates down, letting the organization down, making things difficult on everybody else. Because we talked about, they called up Winans because they needed somebody who could throw in the bullpen on Sunday.
Right.
I'm sure if you gave Max Fried some truth serum today and you asked him, he would partially pin this loss on it being Alan Winans out there instead of maybe being Bryce Elder or somebody else out there, because they had to get a guy who could pitch the very next day because he burned too much of the bullpen with his short outing on Saturday. So we've seen pissed off Max Fried. I remember that final World Series game. He got stepped on and just locked in after that. I think it's going to be a good matchup on Friday night. I feel confident about his ability to come out and just outproduce. He's got Trevor Rogers on the mound opposite him, so it's a battle of the lefties. Neither of Miami's go-to lineups are that great, but Miami's lefty lineup is maybe even worse than their right-handed pitcher lineup, and so I feel like it's a great opportunity for Atlanta to get off the skid.
I will go 2-3 this weekend. I also would like to go on record as saying that my pick of going 2-2 against the Mets could still hold true when we look at that September game.
The very end of September, but we're going to have to pin this and remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. Retroactively, I'm not going to say that we lost the series yet because the series is not over. So
if we win that one game, that third game in September, that means you are right. Okay.
That is a must win. So I'm going to go 2-3. I honestly would like to pick the sweep just because I think it's there, but I don't. I'm still undecided on Chris Sale. I don't know if he's going to be five and dive. I don't know if he I don't know his longevity right now and what we're going to get out of him. And so I know the effort's going to be there, and I know that the curveball is going to be there, or that sweeper's going to be there, because that's what he's able to put across the plate against against righties and them not touch it. But my confidence level right now on the pitching, the bottom part of the pitching from what I've seen just this past week, is if we don't take advantage of their pitching and put the ball in play and get a lot of hits, I still think we go two of three, but I don't think we could sweep.
I've got zero. I have zero concerns about Chris Sale right now. I think he's fine. I think he's going to be fine. I've got Atlanta sweeping this because, kind of like you mentioned, I think it's just going to be a pissed off Atlanta squad. They're probably going to take it a little bit personally that they got beat this bad today. Mm-hmm. And the fact they don't get a day off. They have to go right back at it tomorrow. They're flying out tonight, heading to Miami, and they get to pounce on a team that has struggled defensively, has struggled offensively, has struggled with pitching. I like Atlanta's chances of just coming out angry. And I mean, not only am I calling a sweep, it's going to be some sort of absurd run differential number, like plus 15 after the weekend.
Really?
Like they're not only going to sweep, I think there's a good chance they're going to just destroy them. Like they're going to come out pissed off.
I hope I'm not wrong on this. Oh, I hope you're not wrong either. I do hope the bats come alive. Before I let you go, any final numbers on Guillorme whenever he was able to toe the rubber and show that miraculous slider to the Mets? Listen, they're going to have trouble with that next time around. He's able to work on it in the pen.
So 20 pitches, StatCast called one of them a curveball, and I think it's just because it was slower. It was 55. He averaged 62.9 on his other 19 pitches. The Stuff Plus numbers, and just if you're not familiar with Stuff Plus, it all keys to 100. An average pitch is at 100, right? So obviously, if you're above 110, that's like a plus pitch. If you're below 90, it's like a terrible pitch. The Stuff Plus overall numbers for Luis Guillorme, minus 240 Stuff Plus. So pretty bad. Yeah, pretty bad. He got a 12.5% whiff rate. So guys did swing and miss. Guy swung and missed at these things, but not great.
Listen, Luis, you can only go up from here, man. If we have to bring you back in a little bit later,
and honestly, save the bullpen an inning. That's really the goal here, is just to save the bullpen for an inning. He did his job. I have zero complaints about Luis Guillorme.
Yes, he got the three outs. He did it in less than 30 pitches, and we were able to put the bottom of the lineup back up there to in the bottom of the ninth in order to try to make a run. I even started texting and go, now that we're ready to jump on the podcast, we're probably going to see Atlanta score 20 runs in the ninth inning, which would have also made for a great podcast as well. So
it would have, but I made you wait. I wanted to get takeaways up first.
Exactly. Speaking of which, all of that is up on Braves Today. Go to BravesToday.com and get the information that Lindsay has been writing up and putting up all week, including takeaways from this game. Also, don't forget to go to PlainsCoffee.com and enter promo code Braves and get your 10% off. Lindsay, as always, I greatly appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, buddy.